name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer Life. Saint Joan of Arc tried with all her strength to fulfill God's will in everything. Her body and soul belonged to God. For nothing in the world would she have wanted to consciously commit a sin, and in everything she followed the voices of the saints, who advised her to fulfill her mission. When in the middle of the war she did not know what to do, she would get away from the people and put herself in prayer to hear the voice of God through her holy counselors. Sometimes she hesitated, like when she jumped from the tower wanting to escape captivity, or when she abjured, but she immediately reacted and asked for forgiveness through confession. She led a life of piety worthy of the best Christian. She attended Mass whenever she could and took communion frequently, as was the custom in those times. She also spent many moments alone with God in personal prayer. About her life of piety in the army, we will say, she had a custom at Vespers every day to retire to church and ring the bells for half an hour. She gathered the mendicant religious who followed the royal army, and she prayed while the religious sang the antiphon to the Virgin Mother of God. A witness declared, "I saw her while the Mass was being celebrated, and at the moment of the elevation of the body of Christ, she shed many tears. She advised the soldiers to confess their sins, and in fact, I saw that at her insistence, the soldiers went to confession along with many of her companions." Father Jean Pascarel tells us, "When she went with the soldiers to the siege of Orleans, I accompanied her to all parts and served as her chaplain, hearing her confession and singing Mass. She was very devoted to God and the Blessed Virgin, and almost every day she went to confession, and she took communion frequently. She sent me to make a banner and paint the image of our Lord Jesus Christ crucified, which I did, and twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, she made me gather the priests to sing the antiphons and hymns of the Virgin Mary. She did not want the soldiers to come to this meeting if they were not confessed, and in this meeting, all the priests were ready to confess those that wanted to. When entering Orleans with the provisions the first time, before the astonished gaze of the English, who were very strong, the priests entered singing, and I in their midst with the banner." And when St. Joan of Arc was already in jail, she asked to hear Mass and confession, even if they refused. Father Massieu says, "Once, when I was leading her from the jail where the judges were waiting for her, she asked me if there was any chapel or church on the road where the body of Christ was. And I said yes, showing her a chapel that was in the castle. So she insistently asked me to take her to the chapel, to greet the Lord and pray, which I did with pleasure. I left her before the chapel on her knees, and she prayed very devoutly. But the bishop was dissatisfied with this, and he forbade me to do it again." The prayer life of St. Joan of Arc was intense. Some refer to a miracle achieved by her prayers. One day, she visited a three-day-old boy. He was taken to Lagny and placed before the image of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. The maidens of the village, who were praying for the child at the altar, wanted St. Joan to go and pray with them, to God and Our Lady, to bring the child back to life. She says, "I went and prayed with them. Finally, the boy came back to life and yawned three times. Then he was baptized, and then he died and was buried in holy ground. The boy had been dead for 3 days, as they said, and he was as dark as my chainmail. But when he yawned, the color started to come out. I was with the girls on my knees, praying." Chastity. She consecrated her virginity to God at the age of 13. She had a horror of obscene words and forbade them. Her title of Maid of Orleans indicates that she was a virgin, as the times that some matrons did an intimate examination could demonstrate it. She practiced heroic chastity. No soldier approached her with ill wishes, because she inspired purity, according to the testimony of Dunois, Alençon, and Aulon. On the battlefields, she sometimes slept for up to 8 days with her armor on. She wore men's clothing to better preserve her chastity, and for that reason they accused her of relapsing, and she was ultimately condemned to fire. We can say that she was a martyr to her chastity, since if she had acceded to the wishes of some English chief, perhaps she would not have protected and saved the chastity. The Count of Dunois said that he had heard Jean d'Aulon, whom the king had appointed as her squire, or Joan of Arc's bodyguard, that that he did not believe that there was a woman more chaste than her. She had in her eyes a glint of modesty that made her very respectable. Marguerite Latourolde adds, "In Bourges, Joan stayed at my house for 3 weeks, sleeping, eating, and drinking. Almost every day I slept with her, and I haven't seen anything wrong with her. She behaved like an honest and Catholic woman. She went to confession frequently and gladly listened to Mass. She frequently asked me to go to matins, and at her insistence, I accompanied her several times. We talked together. She always slept with young girls, and she did not like to sleep with old women. Her demeanor radiated respect among men. On one occasion, the tailor, who was going to make a dress for her, she gave him a slap when he wanted to touch her chest." Charity. "She was very compassionate towards everyone, and despite participating in numerous fights, she never killed anyone. And going on the assault, she was the first, raising the banner high to cheer everyone on. She was saddened when she saw the dead or wounded on the battlefield. Her confessor, Jean Pasquerel, certifies. One day, when they arrived in Orleans, the soldiers left at the request of Saint Joan to go to the storming of the Bastille of Saint Loup. After lunch at noon, I went to Joan's place, and upon arrival, she shouted, 'Where are those who should put my armor on? The blood of our people runs on the ground.' And she ran away. On the way, she encountered many wounded, which made her very sad, and she went on the assault. The fortress was taken, and the English who were there were taken prisoner. It was the eve of the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there were many dead Englishmen. Saint Joan of Arc lamented that they had died without confession, and she cried for them, and she confessed to me." When Saint Joan saw the soldiers, even if they were English, she felt sorry for them. And when she saw them wounded, she made them confess. And many times she told me that if she died, that the king would order chapels to be built to pray to the Most High for the salvation of the souls of those who had died defending the kingdom." A witness squire declared, "Once a Frenchman was leading some English prisoners and hit one of them on the head, so much so that he was left for dead. Saint Joan of Arc herself, seeing him, descended from her horse and made the Englishman confess, holding his head and comforting him as much as she could." She never had hatred for her enemies. When she fought the English, when she was insulted by them, when she took them prisoner, or when she was condemned, she never saw signs of hatred against them. She loved them as Christians. No other example of such patriotism is known in history. Patriotism, by its nature, is exclusive and sometimes rages against enemies. But none of it appears in Saint Joan of Arc's life, which clearly manifested in her the degree of sanctity. At Saint Loup, she saved the refugee English soldiers from slaughter after the battle in the chapel, and she cared above all for their souls. She made sure that her soldiers did not lack the help of religion. She gathered them around the cross to make them pray and confess, and out of charity for their souls, she chased away bad women. She tried at all costs to avoid bloodshed. That is why she wrote letters to the English to get them away from France. Before the capture of Tourelles, Saint Joan of Arc wrote to them to raise the siege of Orleans and thus prevent so many deaths. She also wrote to the Duke of Burgundy, the great ally of the English, to join the King of France and thus end so many evils that afflicted the country. She stated that the first time she saw blood run, her hair stood up on her head. She used to carry her banner in her hand, without a sword, so as not to hurt or kill anyone. She also, on occasion, prevented the English prisoners from being killed. At Troyes, Saint Joan of Arc did not forget to stipulate the freedom of the French prisoners, and she demanded the king to pay the ransom. When Glacidas, who had insulted her so much, fell and drowned with others in the Loire River, she wept bitterly for their souls. And when she saw English dying or injured, she made them confess. At the end of her life, Saint Joan of Arc forgave the judges who convicted her. And being at the bonfire, she not only forgave, but she asked for forgiveness. Compassion. She couldn't tolerate bad words or deeds around her. Seguin states, "Despite her patience, she would fly into a rage when she heard God's name sworn in vain. She detested those who swore. She told La Hire, who was a French military commander, that he was in the habit of swearing, that he swear no more. and when he had a desire to swear, he would swear by his wooden stick. And from that moment on, La Hire, when he was in St. Joan of Arc's presence, swore by his cane. Reginalda stated, "One day an important man walking through the town swore clumsily and denied God, and St. Joan of Arc saw this and heard this, leaving her very disturbed. At that moment, St. Joan of Arc approached that man and took him by the neck, saying, 'Do you dare to curse our Lord Jesus Christ and Master? In the name of God, you give up your words before I leave this place.' And I saw that that man repented and made amends by the exhortation of the maiden." Her confessor, Jean Pasquerel, assured, "When she came to Chinon, a man on horseback said, 'Is it the maiden?' And he swore that if they left her one night, he wouldn't let her be a maiden. Saint Joan of Arc replied, 'In the name of God, you deny it, and you are close to death.' And the next hour, that man fell into the water and drowned. And I say it as I heard it from Saint Joan of Arc herself and from others who were present." Simon Bouquereau confirms, "She detested swearing and blasphemies and scolded those who swore and blasphemed. In the military, she would never have wanted those in her company to steal anything from her. She did not want to eat the groceries that she knew had been stolen. Once a Scotsman made her understand that she had eaten a calf that he had stolen. She went into a rage and wanted to hit the Scotsman." The king's doctor tells us that when the town was taken by storm, some soldiers wanted to enter the church with violence and steal the sacred things and everything that was there. But Saint Joan of Arc forbade it with force. She defended the church and no one stole anything. Humility. According to a witness testimony, Saint Joan of Arc never claimed success. She attributed them to God, and she resisted as much as she could when the people honored and praised her. Sometimes she was angry that some women came to visit her to show her a kind of adoration, which she greatly disliked. She truly was heroic in preserving her humility in the midst of warrior successes and in the midst of so many dangers of pride. She never forgot her humble origins, and after her victories, she commanded to give solemn thanks to God, as she did in Orleans after the victory. She knew very well that her mission was a gift from God, and she considered it as a ministry that she should fulfill. Courage. In her town, Saint Joan of Arc led a life of penance and kept the fast of the church. The day she had the first vision, she had fasted. On the battlefields, she fasted on Fridays. In the midst of her worst fatigue, she was barely content with a piece of bread and wine mixed with water. She slept little and with her breastplate when she was in the middle of the soldiers. The Count of Dunois declared, "As for her sobriety, no living being surpassed her. In her prison, despite the weariness of the interrogations, she continued to observe the Lenten fasts." During her trial, despite having no defender, no lawyer, no support whatsoever from the King of France, she was tortured by so many interrogations, tormented by rude and cruel guardians, she never had a moment of faintness. Father Ladvenu declared, "Always until the end of her life, Saint Joan maintained and assured that the voices that she received were from God, and that what she did was by mandate of God. She did not believe that she had been deceived by the voices, but that the revelations she received came from God." She didn't want to fight on Sundays and feasts of the church. The reason for this behavior was that she was waging war in the name of God, and because she felt the need to attend and have Mass attended on feast days, and also on days when the battle was going to take place. All her trust was in God and in His power. She knew that He would sustain her through all of her difficulties. On her journey from Vaucouleurs to Chinon, she encouraged her companions, promising help from God. She did the same to the inhabitants of Orleans and her companions in arms. She repeated to everyone that God was assisting her, that He was her counselor. She always counted on God, who directed her and advised her through the voices of the saints. She had understood that God wanted to show His power through her, so that the liberation of the country would be out of the question, something supernatural and above human forces. And she knew that if she was faithful to God, she would never lack God's assistance and protection. And even in the middle of the battle, she was still fighting, being wounded. She was wounded 4 times, and she did not allow them to cast incantations on her because they are sins. And she fought again despite her injuries and fatigue, trusting in God. Really, considering that she was a 17 to 18 year old girl, it is something amazing and can only be considered a supernatural. She was a saint, brave, a heroine of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.